For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, All Things Were Created by God, as we pick up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
By Him were all things created. Genesis 1 tells us in the beginning, God created. The word God there in Hebrew is Elohim, which is plural. The Hebrew singular for God is El. The dual tense is Elah. And Elohim is the plural tense for God. In the beginning, God, Elohim, plural. And I believe that that is a hint of the Trinity right in the very first verse of the Bible. The fact that they would use God in a plural form. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when it came to man, and God said, let us make man in our likeness and after our image. Not I will make man after my likeness, after my image, but let us in the divine counsels of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, man was created in the likeness and the image of God. So in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the active agent in creation. For by Him were all things created. The all things, it does mean just that, to be taken literally. For things that are in heaven and things that are in the earth, the whole universe created by Him. Things that are visible and things that are invisible. So the visible material universe that you can see, plus the invisible universe that you don't see, the spirit beings, the angels, the various rankings and orders of spirit beings, here referred to as thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were made by Him and for Him. So not only is He the creator, but here He is the object of creation. They were made by Him and they were made for Him. All of the angels, all of the universe, all of the things within the universe were made for Him, and that includes you. You were made for His good pleasure and purpose. People don't like that sometimes. They rebel against that. Which He has given you the capacity to do, because when He created you with a free will or a choice. You were created in His image, and God is a self-determinate being, and thus He created you self-determinate, the power of choice. And that was necessary in order that He might have meaningful fellowship with you. studying the human body and studying the wisdom of God, I realized how that God could have made us very sophisticated robots. Put circuitry boards in us. And could have made us to fulfill all of the functions that we can fulfill as human beings except meaningful love. Meaningful fellowship. And for that, you couldn't have a robot. You've got to have a choice. And so God created us with the choice, the capacity of choice. And if you will exercise that choice and live for Him, your life will be rich and full and satisfying. If you exercise your choice by living for yourself, your life will be empty, futile, and frustrating. He is before all things. In the beginning, God. He existed before ever there was a world, or stars, or planets, or life forms. Before there were ever angels, He existed. He is eternal. He has always existed. He is self-existent. He is before all things, and by Him, all things consist. The word in Greek means are held together. A very interesting statement in the light of the discovery of the atoms and the law of electricity. Coulomb's law of electricity declares that like charges repel. Positive charges repel each other. Opposite poles attract. So there's an attracting force between a positive and negative power, and that's what we use in our electricity and running our motors and all, the alternating currents. Coulomb's law of electricity. But there is the repelling force of like charges. So that there is a repelling force of positive charges. We used to have a little box with it looked like a coffin and it had a mummy in it. And it was sort of designed rather ingeniously because you could take and pop that little thing on the end and had a magnet inside the mummy case. And the magnet would go down to the foot when you pop it. And there was a little magnet, the mummy itself was magnetized. So that when you would pop the magnet down at the foot, you could lay the mummy in it and it would lie still in the casket. Then you would take and pop the thing at the head of the casket to pop the little magnet back towards the head. And then you hand it to your friend and you say, see if you can make the mummy lie in the casket. And try as they will, they put the little mummy in the casket and it pops right out. Because you've got the positive poles now both at the head of the mummy and it pops out. And they're mystified because this mummy pops right out of the casket and they hold it there for a while and pinch it, you know, and as soon as they let go, it pops out again. And it's just a little trick that was based upon Coulomb's law of electricity of the repelling force of like poles. Now, in the bombarding of the nucleus of an atom, it took 600,000 electron volts to insert a proton into the nucleus of an atom. And so by that, they were able to determine that between two protons, there is a power between 10 and 50 pounds necessary to hold them together. The nucleus of an atom is clustered protons clustered together in total defiance to the law of electricity. The mystery of the universe is what holds them together. Science does not have an answer. They created an answer a few years ago with what they called the mesons, which were they called atomic glue, but then that has been thoroughly discounted. There was one man who received his PhD in science. In his thesis was on why the electrons do not collapse into the nucleus of an atom, the protons, following the law of electricity with the attracting force of opposite poles. There's a double mystery. Why are the protons held together and why don't the electrons collapse into it? And he wrote his thesis, and his thesis was basically, they don't collapse in it because they don't collapse into it. And he got his doctorate. We don't know. And by his confession of the truth, we don't know. There is no answer except here. By him, all things are held together. If the Lord would just release his hold just for a second, this whole physical universe would go up in one big, gigantic bang. It'd all be over. In the nuclei of every atom in the universe, these positive charges would follow their natural bent and they'd just repel each other and the whole universe would just be the end of everything in the material universe. By him, all things are held together. Lord, hang on. And he is the head of the body, the church. We need to remember that. There are always those men who are trying to take that position as the head of the body, the church. I think that that is one of the weaknesses of denominations. Is that it does sort of curry that power struggle. And men driven by the desire for power seek to gain the control over the denomination. A truly godly minister could care less about being the president of the denomination or even the pope. He only wants to be what God wants him to be, if he's truly a godly man. He has no real ambitions to be anything other than what God has called him to be. But there are men who are driven by the desire for power, and they strive to gain that preeminence and position of the head of the church. And it's always rather sad to see it. For Christ is the head of the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. Now others rose from the dead before he did, but he is the firstborn in that he is never to die again. Those that were raised from the dead before died again, but his is unto eternal life. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Now that is the purpose of God, and the plan of God is that in everything Jesus has the preeminence. All things again includes you. And so the question, does Christ reign preeminently in your life? Does he have the preeminence? You see, that's the purpose and the plan of God for Jesus Christ, that he has the place of preeminence in each of our lives, that he is above everything else in our lives, that nothing supersedes the place of Jesus Christ in my life. Now, not just a mouthing of it, oh yes, Christ is preeminent, but in the reality, the actuality, And I'm afraid when it comes down to reality, when it comes down to actions, that many of those who do lay claim to being Christians, the truth of it is Christ is not preeminent in their lives. Now, let's not look at them, let's look at ourselves. You see, I'm not going to have to answer for them. I'm going to have to answer for me. When I stand before God, I'm only going to be responsible for this fellow right here. And I'm going to give an account unto God for me. And therefore, it is important not that I examine other people's commitment, but that I examine my own commitment. That I not look at other people's failures, but I look at my own failures and judge myself. But that's important for each of us, that we will each just look at ourselves and judge ourselves. For if we will judge ourselves, then we will not be judged of God. For it has pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Our minds cannot really grasp that particular phrase. It's pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all of the fullness of God, the Godhead, dwell. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in our Lord. We get that in chapter 2. We are complete in Him. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were one time alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now has He reconciled. And so Jesus has made peace with God possible for man. Man was at war with God. Man was rebelling against God. We all were in that rebellion against God. As we walked our own path, as we went our own way, as we were following after the desires of our flesh and of our mind, we were at war with God, rebelling against the law of God and the commandments of God. But Jesus, through the blood of His cross, providing a righteous basis for God's forgiving us of our sins, has made peace with God possible. As He reconciles all things unto Himself. So we are told, be ye therefore reconciled unto God. Don't be at war with God. Be reconciled unto God. And all things have been reconciled through Jesus Christ, whether there are things in earth or in heaven. And you, that at one time were alienated from God, you were enemies of God in your mind and by your wicked works, you've now been reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, that He might present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now you see, through my faith in Jesus Christ, I have been forgiven all of my sins and transgressions. So that when Jesus presents me to the Father, He's going to present me blameless, unreprovable, holy. In Jude, we read, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Oh, do you realize what Jesus Christ has provided for you? The total pardon and forgiveness of your sins and your transgressions. He has, as you are in Christ, God sees you as holy and pure and righteous, for the righteousness of Christ has been accounted or imputed unto you through your faith in Jesus Christ. Not through your efforts, not through your great commitment, not through your tremendous sacrifices, but through your simple faith in Jesus Christ, God has accounted you righteous. God looks at me tonight as righteous. Now, I don't even look at myself that way. I look at myself and I see all my flaws. I see all my failures. I see my weaknesses. But God sees me in Jesus. And as he looks at me in Christ, he sees me without blame, holy, unreprovable. Oh, I love that. How thankful I am for that place that I have in Christ tonight. Because of him, God sees me as perfect. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So again, the mention of the fact that the gospel had been preached to every creature. They were thorough in their evangelism in that first generation. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And Paul's talking about himself. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, this is a very difficult scripture to understand, and I will frankly confess to you, I am not certain that I do understand the full implications of it. It does seem that Paul is saying that in some way he is completing the afflictions of Christ in his own body. For Christ's body's sake, the church.
Gather the family and listen closely, because this is the greatest story ever told. Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he brings to life the powerful story of God's love and redemption in the book titled The Story of the Resurrection. Hear about the problem every one of us faced, a problem so great that God himself had to come down and rescue us. Walk alongside the disciples as God's plan unfolds. Stand at the empty tomb and rejoice in the hope Jesus left behind for us all. This beautiful illustrated book includes a special audio CD of Pastor Chuck reading the story aloud, along with voice talents from Skip Heitzig, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Cheryl Broderson, and many more. It's never too early to read God's Word to your children. Imprint timeless truth on their hearts again and again. Order your copy today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. Don't miss this opportunity to share the hope of the resurrection with the next generation.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord strengthen you through this week, and may the Word be as a fire burning within your heart as God ministers to you his truth. And may your life be purged through the Word, cleansed. And may you walk with the Lord in beautiful fellowship. And may God grant to you opportunities of witnessing and serving him. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Colossians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources. resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Colossians 1. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.